Any discussion?
Call the roll, please.
Mr. Chairman, before we call the roll, was it in exactly this form, Mr. Chairman?
That's my understanding. Precisely the same bill.
Well, there were some amendments that I was considering, but this is fine, Mr. Chairman, for these groups.
No, if you want, we'll take a work session.
No, Mr. Chairman.
Want your motion to stand, or you want to withdraw it?
No, that's all right. The motion will stand, Mr. Chairman.
Call the roll.
Brennan? Brockman?
Aye.
Owen? Hamby?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Wires?
Aye.
Fry?
Aye. All right, that carries. So you're lucky that we didn't take this up in work session, because we'd undoubtedly have Senator Hill's amendments in there and broaden this whole thing.
I appreciate that.
We're adjourned at 5:30 p.m.
Are you related to the ruling that's an assistant AG?
No, he's ruled.
This is the Senate Committee on Judiciary meeting, April 21st, 1987, at 3 p.m. in Hearing Room 343. We're having a work session today on Senate Bills 471, 472, 482, 746, 879, and 911. House Bills 2086, 2091, 2092, 2158, 2185, 2409.
Discussion. That Senator Cohen, that Senator Cohen, that's the one that raises the arbitration limits.
That's fine to me.
Okay. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
God, I found a nice little chair.
Aye.
Rossman?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Hamby? Hill? Wires? Fry?
Aye. That carries. The chair moves House Bill 2092 to the floor. Do pass. That is the one that fixes the glitch. Raises the arbitration limits to 10,000 district court. Any discussion on that? Call the roll. 2092.
Brenneman?
Aye.
Brockman?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Hamby? Hill? Wires?
Aye.
Fry?
Aye. All right, that carries. Now, the next two bills we'll take up will be 2185 and 2409. 2185 is the one that says the court's going to put the trust funds with the state treasurer unless they're $10,000 or more, in which case the court could permit it to go into an interest-bearing account. I wasn't here when this bill was presented, so I don't know the reason for it, but I don't have any question about it either.
Testimony was that it was administrative, Mr. Chairman, that the court deals with a fairly large number of small trust funds, and that it's simply very difficult to keep track of each one individually and portion out the interest.
Okay.
Under 10,000 is small these days, huh?
Yes.
Any problems with this?
No, I move it, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Senator Cohen moves House Bill 2185. Do pass to the floor. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Senator Brenneman?
Aye.
Brockman?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Hamby? Hill? Wires?
Aye.
Fry?
Aye. That carries. 2409 is our annual corrections bill, consisting this year of 78 pages. We've got some amendments. Or does this A and Gross bill include these amendments, Counselor?
No, it does not. Those are new amendments.
I suppose by the time this thing gets to the floor, there'll be a bunch more.
I hope not.
Necessary. I remember this coming up in the last session, and it seems to me that we said with a 70 or 80 page bill that the amendments could wait until the next session.
Yeah.
Rather than getting the thing reprinted. Isn't that what we did?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how critical these amendments are. Did anybody tell us?
I've looked at all of them, Mr. Chairman. I don't know that they're critical. I think legislative counsel likes to catch them when they can, because occasionally they're important to construction if a case ends up in court.
Yeah. Well, last session we were also talking about revising the entire thing in 14 hours or something like that, as I recall. I mean, the whole, everything, not just certain sections.
The whole code, the whole Oregon revised statute?
Yeah, they're going to put it in a different form and all that stuff.
I don't know.
No, Mr. Chairman, I don't think we're going to do that.
Sure, that's going to happen eventually. Well, I don't have any idea what it involves to get a bill this size reprinted. Maybe they just press a button and it's done automatically. I don't know.
That's primarily it. The way the mechanics are these days, it's mostly they sit down at their terminals and put it in, and it's what it costs is the extra paper. The work's already been done.
No big deal like it used to be in the old days, long before I got here. All right. Well, I'll take a motion on it then. I take a motion on the amendments if that's, somebody wants to do that.
I'd move the amendments, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen moves the amendments, dash three amendments dated April 21st to House Bill 2409. I guess this is one of these things we take on faith, isn't it? Anybody read this?
I've looked at them all. Kathleen and I spent an hour on them last Friday.
Can we look to you for assurance that everything is in proper order?
Well, I gave it my best shot.
I'm not going to delete any important laws, are we?
No.
Why are you taking out alcohol massage?
Because the term is not used anywhere in the statute. It's only a definition hanging out there alone.
Huh. Pretty good, huh? Okay. Any objection to the amendments? All right. So ordered then that they are adopted. Now, Senator Cohen moves House Bill 2409 as amended to the floor do pass. Discussion on that. All right. Call the roll, please.
Brenneman?
Aye.
Brockman?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Hamby, Hill, Wires?
Aye.
Senator Frye?
Aye. All right, that carries. Now, we will give you the next two or three bills that we'll take up in case you want to, if you have a minute and you want to peek ahead, we'll go, yeah, counsel, you're excused. Well, I got another lawyer that can come
He's
help
coming.
Us.
He's coming. I'll go get him.
Senate Bill 879 will be next. Then 471, 472, 482, 911. See how those go, and then we've got a couple of House bills that we try to get to also. So let's go to Senate Bill 879. That's on the patient records. The rate we're going, we may get through awfully early.
I may be gone tomorrow. No, I won't be gone tomorrow. I may have to leave. I do have to leave early because there's a meeting up in the district. 7.
Okay.
I come probably the first hour.
All right, here we're looking at 879 now. And
Mr. Chair?
Yes, counsel.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, there was an amendment that was proposed at the hearing by the Medical Record Association requesting that certain of the records not be able to be released to the Oregon Advocacy Center. The records they refer to are described in ORS 41.675, and those records basically refer to utilization review, disciplinary committee reports, and other information pertaining to internal workings of the provider. I asked Legislative Council to draft an amendment just so that the position of the Medical Records Association was clear, and that should be in your files as SB 79-1. I wanted to alert you to a potential problem with the amendment. If you'll refer to your bill on page 3, line 25, that is already existing law, and those words indicate that it is the records without any exception for records covered under 41.675. The section sought to be amended is down lower on line 36, and that's new language. So there's at least something I want to alert you of, an inconsistency to the extent that one section is amended and the other. The other inconsistency that you need to be aware of is that the federal legislation, which this bill intends to conform Oregon laws to, provides the words all records of any individual without exception. this law will take effect in 2 years, regardless of what the legislature does. So to the extent that we create language that's inconsistent with the federal statute, that may be a problem. Finally, ORS 41.675 prohibits the records from being introduced at trial. So the records are privileged. Evidentiary at trial does not speak one way or the other in terms of the release of such information in other than trial uses. So that's where we are on the amendment. There's a spokesperson for the Oregon Medical Record Association here and from the Oregon Advocacy Center to answer any questions that you may have.
It seems to me that as long as we're going to monkey around with this thing, we might as well, if we're going to conform, we might as well conform with the federal statute.
Yeah, I'm sort of giving up trying to, Mr. Chairman, amend it around too much. If that's what the federal statutes are going to be, maybe we can't. Probably important enough to deal with it. The medical records folks, so I don't know what your intention is. But.
That's kind of my inclination. I also had another question. I've got a notation on line 23 of page 3, the words "and mentally ill" after the word "disabled." Is
that came from the mental health division.
That came from the mental health division?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that
was federal law too,
was
right?
Agreed to at the last hearing.
All right, so that's something we should take up then, isn't it? Well, I think for the record, then, I would propose an amendment on page 3, line 23, after the word "disabled," inserting the words "and mentally ill." Any objection to that? That's so ordered, then. Any other amendments any committee member wants to propose? We've got 4 votes in this bill. Senator Brockman, that's what I was just discussing kind of with Senator Cohen here.
You just
kind of
want to leave it alone because it's more in conformity without the amendment?
That's my understanding.
Fine with me.
Is that your understanding, Senator Cohen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of where we are on it, all right? Senator Brockman moves Senate Bill 879 as amended to the floor, do pass. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Senators Brenneman, Brockman.
Aye.
Cohen.
Aye.
Canby.
Aye.
Hill, Wires.
Aye.
Aye. All right, that carries. 2, 3, 4.
Pardon? You want to sign a carrier?
No, I've just been stacking them up back here. So I guess I might as well save all of it. Now we'll go to 471.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this bill would allow or require a court in a custody context to consider the effects of spousal abuse. In your file, you should have a page with 3 amendments that I've put together for you, so you'd be able to look at in one page 3 different versions of potential changes in the bill. The changes are stronger as you go. That is, B is stronger than A, and the amendment proposed by the Oregon Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence is stronger than B. The major difference between the amendment proposed by the Oregon Coalition and proposed amendments A and B is that the coalition's amendment requires the court to consider the abuse as being contrary. That is, it is one test. If the court finds abuse, then the abuse is contrary to the best interest. A and B, in different ways, allow the court to determine if the abuse has occurred, then to make the decision whether or not the abuse is contrary to the best interest. The difference between A and B is, in A, the court may consider the factor of abuse. In B, the court must consider the factor of abuse. There's a representative from the Oregon Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence to answer any questions you have with respect to these amendments.
Now, last time we talked about it, we had A and B before us. Now we've got A, B, and C.
Right. And, Mr. Chairman,
yes,
the C also includes the extra verbiage is your definition of your request for a definition of abuse as currently stated in the existing statute. If I think it's a repetition of the definition of abuse as it exists in Oregon statute right now.
Well, let's see. I don't think I was the one who was concerned about that.
Well, I thought you were. Okay. Somebody was.
I don't recall it.
and I guess the other, well, they can come and explain their concerns. They have suggested a pattern of abuse, meaning repeated occurrences over a period of time. So that's all.
Okay.
I wanted to explain those two.
Well, just to get the thing out here, my preference is B. what's your preference?
Well, with all due respect to your judgment, I like the bottom one, but
okay.
I don't know how the other committee feels about it. So
that's what I'm trying to test out right now.
That would be my preference.
I'd be.
You're a B.
C.
Senator Hamby and
C.
Okay. I only have another one here.
Went around. Yes.
Well, B doesn't have this pattern in, does it?
No,
right.
It doesn't.
Doesn't have pattern.
Does that mean that? Counsel says that if they make a finding of an abuse, they shall then find that that's contrary to the best interest of the child. So that's stronger than B, but does requiring a pattern to be found make B stronger than C in that regard?
Well, C contains the language of pattern as well as the requirement of the court finding the abuse contrary. The insertion of the pattern was intended to avoid a situation in which a court would use an isolated instance of abuse and find that contrary to the best interest. It does also include a single instance which causes serious bodily harm.
It seems to me that the main concern is the fact that there are some courts, much to my surprise, but some courts in Oregon were evidence of abuse unless it's got a real obvious connection with the welfare of the child. The judge didn't even want to hear about it. And that's what I thought the concern was. And I definitely feel that the court ought to hear that evidence. I was a little reluctant in the beginning, I guess I still am, to the bill in its original form, which said, you know, if that exists, then a fortiori, the best interests of the child are not being served. So, and I'm willing to go in any direction on this thing right now.
Well, the way you understand it, it says here that the court shall make arrangements for custody and visitation that best protect the child and the abused parent. That doesn't say, it just says that.
That's correct.
It doesn't
law,
say
Mr.
that
Chairman.
They. Right, but yeah. What I'm saying is that in terms of changing these definitions, we're not necessarily changing the result other than that there's going to be a finding made.
That's right.
So if they find that it's contrary to that activity was contrary to the best interest of the child, that does not preclude the court from giving custody to the parent whose conduct was contrary to the best interest if they find other factors that are important. Do you read it that way too, Senator?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I just have, I guess my maybe there's just too much language in the last one to, for my mind to absorb here.
Well, I think the basic philosophical difference is, Mr. Chairman and Police Senator Wires, is whether we make a determination that that abuse is not in the best interest of children unless the judge decides to fill in what other kinds of things are more in the best, you know, are contrary to the best interests of children. And so I think it is in fact more directive to the judge than B. And that's really, I guess, where I think it's pretty clear. I don't have any problem doing that. I think there's still plenty of room for the judge to say there has been abuse, but these other circumstances indicate that we're going to have custody for all sorts of other reasons, because it was one spouse's or another spouse's or all those other kinds of things that were involved. So
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Wires.
Would that mean that under either B or C, if the court found that the one parent had abused the other in the presence of the child, and that was, the court found that that was contrary to the best interest of the child, they could still find that the other parent, for example, was addicted to some drug and their health would not permit them to provide care to the child, they could still award the child's custody to the parent who'd committed the abuse, even though that abuse in itself was contrary to the best interest of the child.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I guess I'd support C then, I guess.
You know, that pattern of abuse, I can see how that's going to prolong these hearings. Big argument is going to be not that such abuse occurred, but whether it really falls into the legislative definition of pattern of abuse.
The thing I hope I'm grasping, I hate to just keep going over and over this, but I hope I'm grasping this bill right. This bill is an attempt to more clearly define what's in the best interest of the child, to set a kind of a threshold the judge is going to then spring from in making the custody decision, but it doesn't define the custody decision as such.
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
Members of the committee, the language in C in terms of as well as in B in terms of the court making arrangements for custody and visitation isn't defined. So the court can make arrangements in terms of visitation or in terms of custody or in something in between. So if a parent was found to abuse the other, that parent could still conceivably under C get custody. However, the court would have to be aware that the abuse once found is contrary to the best interest. So it creates a bit of a dichotomy for the court to award custody to a parent who is found to have committed conduct against the best interest of the child.
Which is supposed to be the whole basis of awards of custody, is which parent would be award of custody to whom is in the best interest of the child. It's sort of a, I guess it's building a higher.
Yeah, I think the real question is that on B, the court would have to say, yes, such abuse has occurred. Wouldn't have to be a pattern. It would be up to the judge to decide what abuse was, really, I guess, or how. And then the judge would independently have to decide that abuse is contrary to the best interests. There's an and there. And down here, we've already said that abuse is contrary to the best interests, and the judge would have to make overruling findings to say the best interests are really the fact that the other parent is a drug addict, which is worse than...
May or may be worse.
Yeah. Well, but the judge would have to make some decisions about that. Not that I'm saying it's worse, but whatever the judge decided would have to be a overruling kind of thing. Well, that's, I'm going to make that statement and see that it is not in the best interest, but.
What would be an example of of attempting to cause bodily injury? And I know what an attempt is in the criminal law, but here we are, we're in a divorce trial, and somebody is using the charge of attempting over a period of time to cause bodily injury. Attempt, of course, is an effort toward accomplishing an objective, but it falls short. So what is that anyway?
Would that be like slow poisoning in the pabulum or something like that?
Yeah, I suppose that would be. That'd be an example, wouldn't it? Attempting to cause bodily injury. That'd be an example.
Chair, members of the committee, that the definition is taken directly from the definition of abuse.